kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I am here.
You are here.
This week, that is a little more of a challenge than it ought to be.
Yeah, it might not last, so we're going to enjoy it while you're here. You're dealing with an ice storm. So in case you disappear, we brought in backup. Chris Taylor's here. Chris, how are you doing?
Hello. And my town is on fire, so if it burns up, then I'll be off the internet. So ice and fire, which one will win?
One of us will stay. One of us will go. It's up to Mother Nature.
The battle to the death. Oh, my Lord. But we have guests joining us this week from 302 Interactive. We have Deanna and Bobby. How are you two doing today?
Doing swell. Doing swell. No fires. No winter storms. Just nice Florida weather.
Yeah, rub it in.
Well, if you don't count the humidity side of things.
What's it feel like to be warm?
If you live in Florida long enough, you just become a swamp monster. So.
I think the last time I checked the weather, it was like 9 degrees here up on this damn hill.
Wow.
It's cold.
Just nine.
Nine.
We're in the 20s here, so I don't feel that bad.
Yeah, the hills get cold. Close well, yard to the mountaintop. Yeah.
Still 150 here in Texas. No. Just kidding.
Before
we actually
after
are getting.
You include the fire index.
Yeah, exactly. No, it actually is like we are getting our one frozen weekend. And so we are actually going to hit the 20s and possibly even single digits for the first time ever.
Wow.
I did see on the news there was like 100 car pileup because y'all don't know how to handle the cold.
Why are we talking about weather? We have guests, people.
Because the weather is important when it's this
because we're having
crazy.
We're having weather.
Yeah, this is inclement weather.
It's so inclement
that they canceled virtual school for my kids for 2 days.
Weather's just one of those things that that's how you break the ice. Let's just call it a universal
break
ice
the
break.
Ice. Yeah. I see what you did there.
I feel like I'm being cast out here and the fire is winning.
So how are things in Florida with 302 Interactive? You're here to talk about your game, The Commission 1920. For the people who don't know what this game is, give us the sales pitch.
Yeah, so The Commission 1920 is a turn-based mafia strategy sim. We've been working on it for some time now. The mafia strategy sim space was really new to us when we started making the game. We partnered up with our publisher, 230 AM, and they actually had really the passion for the concept. And they were really looking for us to bring it to life, you know, to breathe some life into it. So we released it today. And, after the last, I would say almost the better part of 4 years, we've really come to love the genre, and the game, you know, just as much as 230 AM and the originators and the mafia. I got to say Mafia Strategy Sim is a niche. Yeah, there's a lot of passionate players that we've become very familiar with. And our game actually was born out of inspiration from this game that created this niche. It's called Gangsters Organized Crime. And if you know anything about the genre, if you've ever played Mafia Strategy Sims, this is like the pinnacle. This is like, you know, the bee's knees, the one that started it all. I'd like to think that our game is an homage, a bit of a spiritual successor to Gangsters Organized Crime, because that's kind of the spirit that we hope to kind of bring to life in The Commission 1920.
And where you said what was the original, the first game's title? There's so many. I'm new to the genre myself, so I'm learning as it comes to me, and I'll be honest, I'm having a hard time. I'm learning really slow. I feel stupid with this game.
So we launched our first Steam title called The Commission Organized Crime. It was our first our first published game, and our first strategy game as well. So a lot of learnings there, but we launched that in 2018. And with the 1920, we took a lot of the feedback that we got from organized crime and worked a lot with our critics and our fans to make this that much better of an experience and really a complete overhaul in 1920.
In what way did you work with critics?
By literally calling them and saying, hey, please give us another shot. We're making another game and we need your advice. And some of them said, screw you. And some of them hung around.
That's really cool. Like, what did you say to convince them to join in and help you guys make sense of things?
Well, I will say, what did Deanna say to convince them? Because she did a lot of the saying.
Yeah, it was very just, listening to them and getting the thoughts. Like, they're being critical because they're very passionate about the genre and they really want a game that can really take or hold up the what's it called? Yeah, they're just really wanting a game that kind of upholds like their ideals of what they would want to see in like a gangsters organized crime type of game. So it's really working one-on-one with them and seeing like what they would like and seeing how that fits into the bigger picture of the game development side.
That's really cool. It's not often that you hear people working with critics to improve what they're doing. You know, all the time you hear the positive feedback and I don't know. It's just new to me to see people reaching out to critics and extending a hand and inviting them to take part. That's really cool.
That's because Joe's used to fielding people fighting back when I say that their game needs work. That's happened a few times.
I mean, that is one take on game development. I think for us, we put the blood, sweat, and tears into the game. Even our lead dev is his strongest critic. So I think for us, we're so critical of ourselves sometimes that somebody else say, not the nicest things. it doesn't even hit the mark of how we're talking about it.
How big of a team worked on the game?
Damn it, Joe.
Sorry. I gave you a second to jump in. You didn't say anything.
I know, but I also gave you a second.
Can you tell we're good at our jobs?
We're nailing it.
It's not like we've been doing this for 8 years. Go ahead, Cole. You ask.
Well, what's your favorite bit of advice that a critic gave you that you got to go back into and work on with the game and add into it?
That's a hard one. Yeah, that's a good question. I think I'll say this: we based a lot of the development plan for this next game literally just off of comments on Steam. So I think the short answer is most of it we literally took point by point every piece of negative feedback and the additional feedback that didn't make it into Steam reviews because we had a Discord server set up. So if you want a Discord server, we're like, hey, and went as far as creating, basically audits of our game and saying like, look, I don't expect to get paid. I liked playing your game. I really liked what you guys tried to do here, but I think you can do it better. So we took like point by point feedback and try to incorporate it as much as we could into this next iteration. So I can't think of one in particular because there was, lack of a better description, a lot. and we just tried to do as much as we could. We also didn't want to kind of get stuck in development hell for like 3 years and then launch a game 3 years later. I think for us, timing was everything. You know, maybe you hear this a lot, maybe you don't, but we take, it's not the most popular approach to game development, but we take a very business minded approach sometimes too. It's like, how much can we put into this in reason, and how can we work with people and iterate and get as much feedback without, you know, spending all of our money and spending all of our blood, sweat, and tears? Because we also have other ideas, right? Other projects that we want to do.
Yeah,
that's reasonable.
It's a sensible game design. I've worked now for the last 6 years with a lot of game designers and developers, and I don't see a lot of that. So sometimes I'm afraid of saying it because it's almost going against the grain. It's like, well, you're not passionate enough about your game. I'm like, oh, we are, but we have more ideas.
I mean, you're still a business. You still have, you know, ends to meet and things that have to get done, and you can't just ignore the financial side of things.
Yeah, and that's part of the approach we took. We really prioritized the feedback that we got. I mean, broke it down many, many times over.
Was there any feedback that you were provided that you weren't able to make into the game?
What we're realizing today, and I'll say this now, in hopes that anybody who listens to this will hear this, we want to put in a better tutorial for the game. So that's something that we are actively scoping.
Yeah.
Yep.
I just put my hands in the air.
If you guys played it, I know I was hoping it was going to come up so I can address it here, but we're working on a better tutorial. That's definitely something.
That was actually going to be my first question.
Go ahead, Chris, ask it.
Oh, no, that was it. It was just like,
no, ask your question. Saying that.
What? Oh.
Trying to get you involved, Chris.
I was trying to get involved.
This is why you're the associate.
Yeah, exactly. That's
why you're the enforcer, beating people up behind the club.
I got drunk and took over the microphone.
So what would you say to new players who are firing up the game for the first time? Who are, I'll be honest, the first time I fired it up, I was just confused. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I'm still kind of lost. I've been fumbling my way through things. I've been a few years in the game and I have a bunch of made men, and I don't really know what I'm doing. So what would you tell a new player like me?
Yeah. So, I mean, the premise of the game is control and influence. So building up a strong, you know, mafias are almost corporations. So this is very much an economy game through the lens of organized crime. So that as a new player is something really to consider in the early game. Build up your infrastructure so then you can make your power moves against the other families.
I think he told you to get good, Joe.
Yeah. No, I suck.
Well, the sad part is, like, I tend to consider myself as somebody who's really good at strategy games like this, and I struggled. So to hear you guys say, oh, yeah, we know we need a better tutorial system, and that's something that you want to work on, that's actually really reassuring, because even I was like, I'm fucking lost. And it took me quite a bit of time just to even, like, get a grip on the basics. And so I was really concerned, like, I don't know how much time I would have to put into a game to get good at it if there's not at least a tutorial at the beginning. So to hear you guys go, oh yeah, we're gonna fix that, and I'm just like, oh, well, my work here's done.
Good job, Cole.
Yeah,
single-handedly you did it.
I did it. I didn't do a thing except for go, I suck at this. It was like having a life-altering realization where I'm like, I can't say I'm good at strategy games anymore.
Chris, what were your thoughts with the game? Chris, what were your thoughts with the game?
It's the same as Cole, pretty much. Like, you know. Except I don't consider myself generally good at strategy, but what helped me was good old YouTube. There's actually, there's like, you know, in the Steam community guide that exists as is right now, the one when you click on it in the game takes you to the Steam page. One thing that they didn't mention that, you know, like I really needed to know before I even started the game was like that you don't just click on a burrow and send your, you know, kappas and your, you know, your, I'm forgetting like what the word is now, associates, to like a burrow and, you know, try to go from there. Like you actually have to like open it up and like pick a actual town and like, you know, an actual racket and, you know, just like, what do you do to start the game is not, you know, well detailed, but, there's actually a guide that I used, from Agrippa Maxentius, who really loves this game. It doesn't have a lot of views on this video either, but it's an overview of it. And it, he really does a good job in about 20 minutes of telling you how to get started with the game. And then from there it was, I was like, oh, okay, now I can actually play this. But I've done that with a lot of the strategy games that I've reviewed because, again, I'm not good at them in general. So I always like pull up YouTube to tell me how to, you know, do the things.
Cheater.
Yeah. I think a tutorial that like if you open it up and it actually shows you the game and like kind of auto does it or prompts you to do the things, like that's kind of the typical RTS method of teaching people the game. I think that would be the most helpful to me. But yeah, through the power of looking over other people's shoulder, I have a somewhat rudimentary understanding of how to play this.
See, y'all didn't realize you were coming on a podcast with a bunch of idiots who couldn't learn the game.
You know, I'm very impressed with the depth, though. Like, yeah. now that I see it, I'm like, I'm really impressed with how much is in it.
You know, looking back 4 years ago, I'm a strategy game player myself, but there's a lot of niches in the strategy game genre. So me, I grew up playing StarCraft and Age of Empires and, you know, the Civilizations and whatnot. So this was a little bit different for me and, some of the other folks on the team. But we luckily had our lead producer on the project was like a huge Paradox Game fan. Like, I mean, I think he had actually heard of Gangsters Organized Crime, we use a lot of his expertise to kind of help us, lay out and design the game and make sure that it was, the systems and the way things were laid out were as expected for the genre. So if you play a lot of Paradox games, you know, that's kind of a lot of where we got the inspiration for Windows and how things kind of pop up and whatnot. But that was new for me and new for most folks on the team. And I will say this, even buying some of the new Paradox games, I have to be good when I start the game. So I will watch hours and hours and hours of tutorials from the lowliest of YouTubers to the most popular ones. Cause I need to see every angle before I jump in. Cause I will get demoralized if I just completely get destroyed.
Yeah, I'm looking at Paradox games right now and I only recognize one title and I've never played it. It's the City Skyline.
And I will say that's kind of like the standard too, is that there's so much depth to some of the strategy games, and including ours. So each family has different tactics you can play through, characteristics that kind of guide the playthrough as well, that give you advantage. So you're going to want to lean into those things. And there's only so much that we can do in a tutorial, and we don't, even with the update, we don't plan on covering it all, but enough to give you the basis of here's the systems, here's what you got to do, here's how you lay down the foundation. We're going to rely heavily on partnering with folks that play the game to help kind of outline these deeper strategies.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That is really cool. I love when developers get involved with the community, and I said it before, reaching out and getting people involved. I love seeing it happen. You mentioned the game was in development for 4 years. What kind of impact did COVID have on development?
Yeah, I mean, as a business, we definitely were impacted. On development, though, we were still on time. I think, you know, thank the video game development gods here, but we only delayed, I think, 3 months, 2 months. Do you remember our original release date? Was it like in November or something?
Yeah, I think it was November. So only a couple months. I think we mostly pushed it for marketing reasons, too. It wasn't... I guess there was some like polished stuff that we wanted to do, but mostly it was for marketing reasons.
Yeah, November was a rough month.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was a rough month, and then we wanted to get into Steam Fest as well. So we just kind of like, okay, let's just push back a little bit.
That works. So you went from November to February now. The game is out. What's the reception been so far? I know it's only been a few hours that it's been out, but what's the early word been?
I've been hiding my head in the ground like an ostrich.
Just peeking out to come up here?
Exactly.
This is what he's doing to avoid looking at the early feedback.
And then we sit here and yell at him, he needs a tutorial. I'm sorry.
I know our... working with the community, some of them have been with us since the original game, and their overall reception has been pretty positive. They're really happy with like Bobby mentioned earlier, like a lot of the systems were reworked from the ground up, and a lot of them, like the new systems, like the Capo's agendas that we have now, were which we didn't have before, and then of course the UI updates and new rackets and stuff like that.
How would you sell this game to someone who's more familiar with like the Mafia titles that are more action based? How would you sell them and bring them into a management sim like this?
Yeah, I think the Mafia genre, and you know, we had to do research on the Mafia genre itself, not just management strategy sim and like going down that road. Even 4X games we looked at for some inspiration. If you kind of want to feel like you're in the seat of power, and not like a low level thug, this is really the game to do it. You know, you're controlling neighborhoods, you're building up your family, you're bribing, political figures, you're calling hits. So it is, you know, kind of gives you that ability to run the family the way that you would want to, that maybe even a Mafia you don't get to do until late game, you know, right out the gate, you're in there, setting up, gambling dens and whatnot.
I did enjoy that. Like within the first few months of me playing, the game was like, do you want to do charitable stuff or do you want to just like beat people up in back alleys? And it voted for the families and they're like, oh, well, we're all going to do charitable stuff except for you guys over there. You voted against it. So we're doing it charitable anyway. You guys are dicks. It always seemed to vote my way though. So I was happy about that.
Yeah. My last playthrough, I did a stream, I think last weekend, and all of the commission votes were completely against me. And I was like, damn it. This is so horrible.
RNG gods, right?
Yep.
So the families in the game, were there any inspirations to the family names? Are they family names that you know? Or
Yes and no. I would say the family names are completely made up. But the family characteristics have basis in, I guess, some reality. It's a little bit of a mix, right? There's, you know, historically the five Mafia families and the commission are all, real things. So that is all based on reality, but each family, you know, they're loosely based off the reputations of, the real, you know, five Mafia families of power.
Makes sense. If you need any inspiration for a future update, the Camisa family would be great. My nice, yes. Italian name, the Camisas. Throw them in the game. They could be like the 11th tier, always at the bottom.
Camisa might be one of the RNG Italian names that we have in the game. So I'm not 100% sure because the list is kind of long.
That would be beautiful if it is.
We can add it. Don't worry.
I made it, Dad. I made it. He'd be so proud of me.
We have one good suggestion for every game, and I don't think that was the one for this one.
No, the tutorial was the one for this one. My name is not the good idea.
You might be falling a little short this one time.
Yeah, we're not going to waste the good idea on me. Oh, man. So when you two aren't working on the commission, what are you playing these days?
You first.
Oh, man. It's been a while since I've actually been able to sit down and play a game. But the last one I did get to play was Hades, which was really, really fun.
I hear so much good about Hades, and I haven't gotten my hands on it yet.
Oh, man, it's great.
I'm just biding for it to come to Xbox. Eventually, so I can get achievements for my suffering.
Yeah, I still need to finish it. I've only put a little bit into it, but when things calm down, I definitely want to go back and finish it.
Bobby, what about you? What are you playing?
So I'm a last of a dying breed here, but I play games to have fun.
What is that? I don't understand that concept.
So I'm all over the place. I'm playing whatever the flavor of the week is. I think this week is a mix of Ghost of Tsushima, a little Breath of the Wild, and a lot of Commission.
I just picked up Ghost of Tsushima online, so I haven't fired that up yet. That's still on my to-do list. My backlog is just ungodly.
See, that's where you have to throw backlogs out the window. I tell my friends all the time, like, completionist mentality is long dead.
I don't even get to have a completionist mentality. I'm like, do I have time to even get to a title screen anymore?
A beginningist mentality.
Yeah. Will I make it to it? Like, isn't it The Last Assassin's Creed is like 3 or 4 hours just to get to a title screen.
Oh, yeah. That took a while.
Like, I haven't played an Assassin's Creed since Syndicate, and I didn't even have time to finish that one. And we have every one of them, and I just look at it and go, I got time for that shit.
Oh, my Lord.
Chris, what are you training? Oh. I just
might as well ask you. You're not on all the time.
Answering your question, huh?
I said you're not on all the time. Might as well ask you.
Yeah. Well, besides the stuff that I stream, I have been training for what might. I'm guessing it's going to get canceled or rescheduled. But in 2 days, there's a Tetris Attack tournament. So I've been de-rusting on that game hardcore because
Tetris Attack tournament.
They occasionally pop up around, you know, because Tetris Attack, for some reason, got, like, a little more popular in the last 8 or so years, but I've been playing it since it came out, and I've won, like...
Oh, you're a hipster. Yeah.
Well, I mean, hipster in that my mom bought it because it had the word Tetris in the title, and it was the only game we could play with mom. But yeah, anyways. No, I got good at it, and, like, I've won 3 out of the 4 tournaments that I've participated in. And, you know, and it's like, it's one of those games where if, like, I find out somebody doesn't have it, I'll, like, go find a cart and buy it for them because it's still cheap. It's like a $15 Super Nintendo game still, which is ludicrous because it's first party and those games are always expensive. And it's just so fun. And yeah, like, I like to go to these tournaments and, like, participate and win, you know, little gift cards and whatnot. So. But it always involves, like, 2 weeks of, like, kind of de-rusting from the game and learning how to play it again. And, you know, I've also been playing Panel de Pawn on the Switch Online, as well as my actual copy
of it. The original name, yeah.
Yeah, and that game's actually much harder, if you didn't know. The enemy AI is a little more, like, devious.
Speaking of the Switch, the Commission, are there any plans to bring it to consoles at all?
Oof, that is a question that I am going to sidestep for now. No, the short answer is no. I mean, we have ambitions to do some Switch stuff and console stuff, but right now it's like we want to get some new projects started.
Yeah, okay. After 4 years, I imagine. Yeah, plus, like, the interface really does, like, serve the mouse interface, or the game's interface serves, like, the mouse, I think, best. So, like, the closest I would think of wanting to play this would be, like, on the Switch through a touchscreen.
Xbox, yeah, like, you use a mouse.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. Yeah. I don't have an Xbox. I'm the non-Xbox guy of the group.
Gross.
And he doesn't have any hair either.
We're going back to the hair, aren't we?
Pre-show references.
Oh, my Lord. So what is next for the commission? You guys are aiming to put a tutorial in the game. What else? Are you working on new content for it? Or are you just focused on new projects from here on out?
We do have a backlog of some updates that we're looking at right now. So I don't have an immediate answer for you. We do plan on doing some more support for the game, though. Absolutely. What those things are, there's as with many games, it's like, okay, we have this laundry list of stuff. What can we do? And so we're just working through that right now. Definitely, I would say AI. We're going to do some AI tweaks. That's definitely already been approved. Maybe, yeah, like I said, tutorial. I'm trying to remember the list that we talked about in the last couple of days, but I think that's all that I know has been greenlit. Anything else? We're still reviewing and seeing what comes of these next couple of days. What people want? Is it on our list? Do we got to add it?
And then you mentioned future projects. Is there anything that you're in, anything in pre-production that you're able to discuss or mention, or is it still just too early to get into?
Still too early. We do have, we're in pre-production of one, project. It's a completely different genre. We're stepping out of our strategy for this next one, I think. But too early to talk about. As soon as we have something to talk about, though, Joe, we'll let you know.
Sounds good. Well, I know we've been chatting for quite a bit. Cole, Chris, did either of you have any questions that you wanted to ask?
No. Because I don't want to make myself sound like a fool again.
I'm fine with sounding like a fool. I'm just, at this point, curiosity satisfied.
Well, Bobby, Deanna, is there anything that you two wanted to talk about the game that we didn't bring up?
Come on, Deanna, you got something.
Nothing really comes to mind immediately.
I just wanted to put you on the spot, sorry.
No, you're fine.
I think for us, there's always something to talk about. If it's not the game, I think it's game development at 302 in general. We're passionate about games. We love games. So if you are looking to support an indie studio, pick up the commission. We put our heart and soul into this one, just like every other indie. And especially if you enjoy Mafia Strategy Sims and you had a passion for gangsters, organized crime, pick it up. Stick around for upcoming titles.
Well, give us all the information. Where can people keep up to date with you guys and what you're doing, and, you know, your Twitter, your website? What's going on? Where can we find you?
Yeah, we're pretty much everywhere. You can find us on Steam, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and then we have a Discord that we have that we kind of share all of our projects in.
And see, you can find us at 302 LLC or at 302 Interactive pretty much anywhere. It's those two handles are usually the ones we work under.
Cool, and we will be sure to throw some links in the show notes. So if people want to check you guys out, just scroll on down, look below the video, and check it out. Do it. Go do it. Stop waiting. Well, Deanna, Bobby, it has been a pleasure having you two on. We will let you go on with your night. We have more show that we have to take care of ourselves as well. So thank you so much for joining us. It's been really fun.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Do you have any final words before we let you go?
Support an indie. Not just us, all of them.
All right. Well, that was fun. We got to move on. We have news to talk about. Chris, you're hanging around. So let's dive into this. Big news of the week. CD Projekt Red was the target of a cyber attack this week. The attackers allegedly stole the full source code for Cyberpunk, Witcher 3, Gwent, and an unreleased version of The Witcher 3. They also claim they dumped all of the documents from accounting, administration, legal, HR, and more. And as of today, it was allegedly on sale. Bid for $1 million, buy it all for $7 million. Holy shit.
Okay, so first question is this a publicity stunt?
I don't think so.
It's like two on the nose.
Right? Like, you're like, okay, y'all made a whole ass game about hacking and shit, and you couldn't, like, get an antivirus for yourself. Somebody couldn't pay for a Malwarebytes subscription.
I don't know. It's crazy, though. Crazy, crazy, crazy. More news. Microsoft is planning to merge ZeniMax into a new subsidiary called Vault instead of under the Microsoft or Xbox banner. Exclusivity plans are still supposedly up in the air, so who knows what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if this is to, like, appease the EU's monopoly rules.
It's possible.
Yeah. It's a... Maybe they just did it to further delay Elder Scrolls 6.
Sorry, like, Chris, it's just to spite, like, you.
We're sitting on a full game here. How are we going to not release this now?
So, Chris, what are you going to do if Elder Scrolls 6 becomes an Xbox exclusive?
I'll do what I did when Morrowind became an Xbox exclusive. I'll buy an Xbox.
Well, there you go.
I mean, as far as consoles go, of course, it's always going to be on PC, but
yeah,
I'm a console gamer at heart. So, no, I'll totally buy an Xbox just to play an Elder Scrolls game. It'd be nice to start off with a blank slate anyway, and then 2 weeks later, you'll have me, you know, filling it up with indie games.
How many Rattlekas do you have on there, Chris? 74.
Oh, no. I'm glad you can't narrow it down to by publisher.
I wish you could. That would be really cool.
I think you can on true achievements, but it would only count the ones you already have an achievement in. And if you're like me and you got a backlog fucking hiding in there, you're in a little more trouble.
Oh, my Lord.
I was going to say, fortunately, as a Nintendo fan, I know nothing of achievement.
One day you'll get... Well, you have trophies on PlayStation, at least.
That's true. I actually don't even have the platinum on Skyrim.
Really?
Yeah, because I only stream my Skyrim playthroughs on PS4, and my builds are always specialized. Mm. So it, you know, it just hasn't come up yet.
Make that a stream. Go for your platinum.
Yeah, I guess so. I need to reset my trophies or something so I can start from scratch.
Barry saying Elder Scrolls 6 isn't going to be Xbox exclusive. Timed maybe, but no chance of a full exclusive. The series has too big of a modding community.
Not on Nintendo, buddy.
I don't think modding community has anything to do with it being an Xbox exclusive, especially because the modding for PlayStation with Skyrim is significantly worse on PlayStation. They have much more restrictions.
They ain't pay $7 billion to not make that shit exclusive.
Plus, I think, you know, as much as people who are still playing Skyrim for, like, an audience and stuff like that, like, people who are really concerned with Elder Scrolls 5 care about modding, like, when these games first come out, people, you know, the majority of people who purchase them, like, don't care about modding. So, it's, like, I think that's a thing that some people do to, like, try and keep it fresh when they're, you know, kind of tired of the game.
Yeah.
Because they want to keep experiencing it, but they want something different to happen. Because, I mean, you know, that's true for all the Elder Scrolls. I mean, you know, Daggerfall Unity is a recent thing. Like, and Daggerfall came out when I was, like, before I had my driver's license.
Gee.
And there's still, like, people who are, like, super, like, into restoring the game and making it modern. So the modding community is like an afterlife for a game like that, I think.
I just don't think it'll have any effect on console exclusivity because it's going to be on PC anyways.
Yeah.
And Xbox has been all about releasing their games on Steam, though it's not like it's going to be locked to the Windows 10 store.
Yeah, plus, I don't think that's going to be a consideration for the developer, or the publisher, because they don't make money off the mods, you know?
No.
Man. Mods are a thing that the community does for free to, you know, extend the interest in the game.
Chris will buy a Series X to only play Elder Scrolls and Kemco games.
Hey, you should see my original Xbox. That's pretty much where I'm at.
And Lost Odyssey. You would play Lost Odyssey.
I play Lost Odyssey. I don't think I have it on the 360. So yeah, I need to. I have friends who are like about ready to draw weapons on me to make me play Lost Odyssey. So
you should. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
More news. Nintendo Switch Online is getting some new additions on February 17th. Chris, did you see these?
Yeah. Deep cuts.
The NES is getting Fire and Ice.
At last. I don't remember ever seeing Fire and Ice come up on any of their previous online iterations. I could be wrong.
But I don't remember any of these games ever showing up before.
Yeah. And so I'm excited about Fire and Ice. That is a very expensive cartridge.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's in the hundreds, I think.
Damn.
I know my friend sold it for a couple hundred. Jeez. I don't know. Now you're making me check. Fire and Ice, NES.
Click, 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 click.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, yeah. I was trying to avoid it. Looks like we're looking at... let's get out of the power sellers here. If I can even find it. Well, like the people who do like the rated, like, you know, mint condition whatever's like in the cases and stuff try to charge like $30,000 for a common game.
Oh yeah.
But let's see here.
It's graded 9.0.
I'm seeing a complete inbox near mint that's, you know, not one of those that's $669 right now.
Damn.
And yeah, the listings are very light on this game in total.
So that's on Nintendo Switch Online on the 17th, so you don't have to pay $700 to play it.
Oh, loose cart, $175.
Oh, that's nothing then.
Yes.
Fuck it. Fuck Nintendo Switch Online. Just drop $175.
Yeah. Oh, that's a starting price for bids or best offer. There is a buy it. Yeah, there's a buy it now for $180. So yeah, if it's a buy it now at $180, then the price is $180.
Yeah.
So.
And then Super Nintendo is getting three games with Prehistoric Man, Doomsday Warrior, and Psycho Dream, which is releasing for the first time in America.
Yeah, that's incredible. I really want to play that Psycho Dream. It looks really good, too, from what I've seen. And those other two games, yeah, those are like, those are ones that I've like heard of, but I've actually never, I missed them the first time. So a Super Nintendo game that I missed is,
wow.
Yeah, pretty rare.
Damn. Something else that's going to be rare is the people looking forward to the Prince of Persia, the Sands of Time remake, because it's been delayed indefinitely.
That was me. I am sad.
You're sad about it?
Yeah.
Are you? Sorry.
Yeah. It's okay. I'll cry when I remember in like 3 months. I'll be like, oh yeah, that fucking game ain't coming out.
It's supposed to be out today. Oh well. at least it's not as bad as what's been going on for the developer of Terraria. Have you heard about the shit going on with him? Apparently, Google completely locked the developer's account and, you know, email, YouTube, PayPal, just everything. Not PayPal, Google Payments, Google Wallet, whatever it is. Everything locked. And the developer's like, fuck you, I'm not releasing on Stadia.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, Stadia is going to be hurting. this is going to be the thing that kills Stadia, obviously. Oh, wait, it's already dead.
Yeah.
But losing out on Terraria is huge. Terraria is not some nothing indie game. Terraria is a massive indie, and losing out on that game is going to be a big effect on Stadia and Google. So they got to get their shit together.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
Or is it just going to make their downward spiral just slightly more steep?
Yeah. Might speed up the process just a smidge.
That's right. Google, come after me.
Come at me.
Barry 00 in chat says Stadia is dead anyway. Player base is pretty much non-existent. The funny thing about that is on all the Xbox tweets, there's always this one dude whose username is literally like Stadia Bro or something. He's like, Stadia is better. Like every fucking time you're like, you've got to be a troll account because there's no one on this earth that genuinely believes that.
Yeah, that's...
But it's there every fucking tweet. And I'm just like, really?
That's somebody that they forgot to take off the payroll.
Yeah.
Just through some glitch in the system, he's still getting it, drawing a paycheck, and so he's still out there.
He gets like $1.10 a week, and he's out there tweeting.
Working hard, earning that paycheck. Forza Horizon 4 is hitting Steam on March 9th. There's some good news for Steam gamers. You will be able to get your Forza Horizon 4 on.
Nice.
Amazing game. Amazing, amazing game.
I can't believe they didn't call it Forza and just add a U into the name.
Shut the fuck up.
Hang up on him. Give him the Jacob treatment. He's gonna ask for it now.
Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time, will be releasing March 12th on the PS5, the Xbox Series X and S, and on the Switch. It's hitting the Switch finally. We'll also be hitting the PC via Battle.net, and the game will run $59.99 on PS5 and Series X, and $39.99 on Switch and PC. Chris, are you looking forward to this hitting Switch?
I am not a very knowledgeable person when it comes to like that series, but I mean, what I have played, I have the trilogy, and I like kind of started it, and like I'm like, these are nice, and they like make me feel like I'm playing a new game in 1996 or whatever. But yeah, like I, you know, the more the merrier, really. Let's get all the mascots on Nintendo fighting it out somehow. I don't know if they got a game for that or not, but
no, it doesn't exist. No. Be cool though.
Yeah. It'd be cool at first, and then the community would ruin it. That's my extremely detailed prediction.
Tencent has acquired a minority stake in Bohemia Interactive. Details of the transaction were not made public, but Tencent is dipping its toes into more companies.
Speaking of monopoly laws, those guys really like to buy up a little bit of everybody.
Yeah, they're not buying up all whole companies, though. They're just getting little bits here, little bits there. So who knows what the fuck they're planning.
Got their 10 centicles all over everybody.
Hang up on him.
He asked me if I wanted to be in the news.
Well, you have a review to talk about, so I was being nice.
Oh, I see.
The mistakes were made.
EA acquired Glu Mobile, the makers of Diner Dash, Cooking Dash, and other Dash properties, for a whopping $2.1 billion.
Wait, who bought them?
EA.
I love Diner Dash. I want a new Diner Dash.
Well, there's other Dash properties you can play.
I know, but I want a new Diner Dash. I want a new all of them. I don't remember all the other ones I played, but I do remember on 360 I had a Diner Dash game, and I actually completed it, and I played them on PC all the time, and I just fucking love those games.
That one was out on the original DS, right?
Maybe. I don't know. I didn't have an original DS. Oh.
I seem to remember playing it back then, but I know it was out on like Wii and stuff.
Yeah.
Because those used to be the only two systems I had that were current.
I went from Super Nintendo to the Switch.
Yeah.
Trash Rando, what about the rumor of Sony buying something bigger than Bethesda? I have not heard that rumor. Have either of you heard that?
It's new on me. I like to say, until there's actual dry ink, that's just the fandom doing what fandoms do.
And in the case of Codemasters, until the ink is dried, nothing's settled.
Yeah.
Let's not forget Take-Two and EA fighting over Codemasters.
That's true. That is true.
Like, what was Codemasters doing at the time? Because all I remember them from was that freaking, like, Aladdin console enhancer for the NES.
Oh, Codemasters is big on racing games. They have the Dirt Series, Dirt Rally.
Okay.
F1. A lot of racing games.
God, and, you know, they could be bringing back Big Nose the Caveman. And they're not.
That's the top of everybody's list.
They're sitting bastards. On gold, folks. Line of Spacehead remake. Let's do it.
I want to hear more about that Sony rumor, though. I wonder who's bigger than Bethesda?
That would actually allow themselves to be bought up at that point.
Maybe Square Enix.
Ooh.
I wouldn't be shocked to see Sony buy up Square Enix. That would make a lot of sense, given how buddy-buddy they are the way it is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did I just mix up Codemasters with Chimerica? I think I did.
You might have. I don't know.
Yeah, it's because Codemasters made Game Genie and Chimerica, like...
I thought Galoob made Game Genie.
Well, they designed it, though.
Oh.
They designed it, and other Galoob, like, distributed it here, and Chimerica distributed it in the Canada and the UK.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You learn things on this show.
Yeah, exactly.
We're good for something. Rumors that Microsoft wants to make a new Killer Instinct game, but there are, quote, no developers available to make it. Didn't those motherfuckers just buy 40 studios, and they can't find someone to make Killer Instinct?
Mm-hmm. Didn't they release Killer Instinct for, like, free or something some time ago?
It was Games with Gold. Like, all three seasons, they've made Games with Gold.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I still haven't played that. I wanted it to, like, come to Switch or something.
Well, it's on Xbox One.
Well, so
it's on
I,
Windows 10.
As soon as they announced that Elder Scrolls 6 is a console exclusive, then so will I.
You could play it on Windows 10.
Oh, okay. I might do that.
There you go. Mojang announced that Minecraft Dungeons has surpassed 10 million players, though a lot of people have delved into the dungeons of Minecraft.
What? Many people have played Minecraft?
Shocker, I know. Yeah, big stuff.
Can't believe we got the scoop on that. We're sitting on some big news here.
Final bit of news I have. Yeah, final bit of news that I have is that Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart will be hitting the PS5 on June 11th. I can't wait for that one. That's a big reason I own a PS5. Very excited for the new Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah, they always show off the new hardware really well. I remember the first time I saw the PS3 one. Like on a big screen TV at Best Buy or whatever, I was like, ah, it's the future.
So pretty.
Yeah. It was a long time ago. I'm old. Shut up.
I did get a tickle out of the fact that earlier Cheap Ass Gamer, the Twitter account for it, had tweeted out that it was available for pre-order at $69, and people were pissed at them because it wasn't cheap and because they had forgot that Sony was going to make their exclusive $70.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, that's what you get for buying a PlayStation.
That's what you get for not fighting back when they announced those prices with the launch. Oh, Dark Souls is $70. That's totally worth it. Spider-Man with the remaster is $70. That's worth it. No, put them back to 60. Should be 60, but whatever. But that's the news I have. Anything either you want to talk about, or should we roll on to the reviews?
Let's keep rolling.
Rolling. What? All right, let's get this one out of the way. Number one, Crossroads is the first, or crossword. God damn it. Yes, number one, Crossroads. First game to talk about tonight is number one, Crossroads, developed and published by Eclipse Games, released February 12th on the Switch for $3.99. Number one, Crossroads, you'll find a story mode with 100 crossword puzzles to solve for all difficulty levels. On top of that, you can always play the daily crossword, which is the same for everyone in the world, and as many random crosswords as you want. A game made from crossword fans for crossword fans. Chris, tell us about it.
Oh, am I leading this review?
Yeah.
Okay.
You and Cole both played it, so uh-huh. I figure we'll start off with you.
Okay. So yeah, number one, Crosswords. Well, it's big. It's one of those things where it's like it does what it says on the tin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You like start it up and you have your like story mode, which I'm not too sure, like, oh my god, computer. It's like telling me about Microsoft.
It's telling me to buy an Xbox.
It is.
We heard you've been talking about Xbox. So it has like the, basically the story mode, which I'm not too sure like what the story of the game is, but like, you know, it just gives you different, overarching themes to like the puzzles and stuff. And of course they range in difficulty. And then it has like the daily crossword puzzle, which I assume changes daily. I actually haven't checked it today. But well,
the point is to be different every day. So.
Yeah, just a different kind of one every day. Yeah, I imagine it probably just draws from a pool of, you know, games that are already made. And yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, you can either use the touch screen in the Switch's portable mode, or you can use its, you know, the control pad to, you know, of course, get the crossword field on there, and you tap it anywhere on it that's not like a cross, because I don't know how to change the orientation if you hit a spot that
tap in the middle.
Tap in the middle?
Yeah.
Oh, and it switches the orientation.
In the middle of the word, yeah. And yeah, then it'll choose the word rather than, that's how I was doing it.
Yeah, I figured that out pretty quickly. Like, okay, just, you know, whichever tile is definitely going in only one direction. Mm-hmm. And then it just gives you a basic clue and, you know, you put together the word. If you really just can't figure it out, then try the word that is adjoined to it, and that will give you, you know, a at least one letter unlocked, so that you can kind of go from there.
I do that they give you a pool of letters when you're solving words.
Yes, they give you a limited pool of letters so that it makes it a little more foolproof. You're not just there on your own. You can maybe sometimes, if you've got like a choice between two words that would definitely fit the clue, then you can just kind of figure it out through the letters. Or you could just sit there and just try everything until it, you know, lights up if you really want to. Especially for shorter words where you just have no idea, then you can like just sit there and plug in letters in it. There's no penalty for not getting it right. It's not like in the newspaper where you just, you know, eventually erase all the ink off the page. Mm-hmm. But, and then of course there's a hint thing that will, you know, of course give you a hint, and it just tells you how many hints you've used, I think, instead of like, you know, limiting you on how many you can use, but they kind of get that a little bit of a shame buffer there. So if it's like hints used 250, then you can be like, I may not be very good at this.
There comes a point after about 110 where you should just Google it.
Yeah,
exactly. And, you know, it's like real crosswords. It's kind of like on the honor system. You know, if you want to cheat at it, go ahead. That, you know, the only person there to judge you is yourself.
And your shame. Cole, what were your thoughts with the game?
I have no shame. No, I had a really good time with it. I love crosswords anyway. I like the challenge of them. I'm a bit of a word junkie. So I have to admit, though, I was kind of like, it's on the Switch. Playing on the Switch isn't my favorite thing to do. And I was actually kind of concerned because typically if I'm playing on the Switch, I'm playing it portable and I'm like sitting on the couch while somebody else is on the Xbox or something. And I was concerned. I was like, okay, a crossword puzzle game on the Switch, portable, means I'm stuck to a tiny ass screen. And I don't know how well that's going to work. But I do think that the actual design of the game, the layout of the crosswords and stuff, it wasn't difficult to actually see it when it's portable. And for that, I was incredibly grateful, especially because I'm waiting on new glasses. And so, like, everything is hard to see anyway. And I was like, nope, I can read it. I'm good. Even playing it, I played it on number one Switch Lite a little bit, and that's got an even smaller screen than the normal Switch. And it was like, yeah, I can still see what I'm doing. I can manage it. I didn't feel like I was fumbling around using the touch controls. I far preferred the touch controls because I don't think there's enough, color variance on icons when you're using the thumbsticks and moving around the cursor. I would like to see a little more color variance so you can see the cursor a little more easily.
I can agree with that. I also wasn't a huge fan of the D-pad cross pad controls, D-pad, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I had to resort to touchscreen for mostly everything. It just felt better.
Yeah, once I started using the touchscreen, I was like, okay, I'm down for this. When I was trying to fuck with it with the D-pad and the sticks, it just wasn't happening.
I couldn't use the sticks.
Yeah, I was like, you are not working out for me. And then I didn't even realize it had touch controls. I keep forgetting that's a thing on the Switch. And then I just like bumped it and I was like, oh.
I only knew right away because I started playing the game in portable mode, and it just seemed inviting. I was like, oh, okay, this looks like it's a touchscreen game. So
discovered it, I was like, light bulb moment.
Yeah. Well, this one seems like a no-brainer. So $4 on this one, what do you two think?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I think it's a definite buy. I think $4, there's plenty of puzzles there to keep you going, and it's a nice variation of challenges, and I'm down for it. I would like to see those quality of life changes, though. Like, make that cursor a brighter color.
And maybe, is there a button to cancel a letter besides selecting it again? Like,
I don't think so. I think you just have to tap on the letter again.
Would have been nice too, to be able to
just hit B or something. And hit B and cancel the word or like a letter or like Y or a I mean, apart from that, it's just a buy it. I mean, it's, if you're a fan of any kind of crosswords, especially if you don't like the tendency of like newspaper crosswords to be like pop culture oriented, which I'm not. Then it'll be like, or, you know, it'll be like Supreme Court Justice from 1940, you know, something to, and I'm like, I don't know. And I study this stuff. So it's like, I like that it's accessible in being like just on the edge of like, oh, I should know this. And, you know, being something that if you do get stumped, you can just kind of Google it. But, I think it's definitely a buy it. And at the very least, it's a fuck it. Why not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's $4. Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Chris, that's it for you. I guess we'll let you get going. Thanks for hanging out with us and doing the interview.
All right. Glad to be here.
You have any final words before we let you go?
Poof.
Where'd he go?
At least it wasn't a pun.
Like magic, he vanishes into the night. Next game to talk about is called On the Road, the Truck Simulator, developed by Toxtronics, published by Aerosoft. Released February 11th on Xbox One for $29.99. From 18 tonners to the Gigaliner, On the Road Truck Simulator offers everything a trucker's heart desires in this realistic truck simulation. You have more than 6,500 kilometers. That would suck to just have 6,500 kilometers of motorway and country roads at your disposal, including numerous detailed motorway interchanges. Cole, tell us about On the Road, the Truck Simulator.
Oh, that was a lie. Detailed exchanges. Okay. Boy, I don't like when I have to rip on a game.
Oh, no.
But I have to rip on this game. Now, in fairness, right? My husband plays a fucking lot of trucking simulators. And I've played more than my fair share of them. Because I review them so that he can have them. And so I'm not an idiot when it comes to a trucking simulator. I know my way around. I know how to play them. Played SnowRunner and MudRunner and Euro Trucking Simulator, Bus Simulator. I've done them all. Okay? And believe me when I tell you that this is the most unintuitive control system I have ever touched. In a trucking game.
Damn.
Everything relies on pressing up on the D-pad for a menu and then navigating that menu with the sticks. But my brain says, press up on the D-pad, navigate a menu with the D-pad. And then it doesn't work because pressing down on the D-pad is confirm. And it makes no fucking sense. And then to top it off, like, this is how you manage everything with the truck. So rather than just, like, tying the ignition to a button press, it's tied to pushing up on the D-pad, going to the menu, selecting the ignition up. That's the other thing, too. It's not start or stop. It's ignition up, ignition down. It's not good.
Ignition up and down?
Yes. And ignition up is start, ignition down is stop. Like, it's not intuitive when you're looking at it. Another thing is that it's like, okay, insert your EU card. And I'm like, I'm not from the EU. I don't know what this is. Where do you want me to do this? It's just another thing on the menu. And it doesn't make a lick of sense. Like, there's no context for it. And then there's no animation to verify that you did it, at least with the ignition that you hear the truck start. But with the EU card, there's nothing. And then, like, in trying to ensure that I had put the card in, then I take off driving, and it's like, well, you took the card back out, so now you get a penalty for so many dollars. And I'm like, I didn't know that I took a card out. I didn't see a card. It's just something that's on this weird menu that makes no sense. I'm assuming this is how the game is, like, simulating actually tracking your mileage or whatever. But there's no context for it. There's no animation. There's no visual indicator. It's just a weird option on a menu.
Damn.
Now, it also never like, everything I learned to do with turning on the headlights and using the blinkers and shit was just because I hit the button on accident trying to figure out something else. To make matters worse. Oh, this is going to sound so mean. I'm so sorry. The game looks like a PlayStation 2 game. It does not have good graphics. I'm not opposed to a game looking rough, but somebody should have figured out where the anti-aliasing button was in whatever program they used to create these graphics. Everything looks jagged and there's no detail. The textures are very flat. The shadows are just stationary for wherever they are, and that's that. It does not look good.
That's a bummer. It didn't look too bad in screenshots, so I guess it's in motion.
It's definitely in motion where you're like, oh, this is a thing.
Damn.
The buildings just look like cardboard boxes pasted in. It's really disappointing. I had a lot higher hopes. Because like I said, we play a lot of these. My husband loves them. If my husband turns it off in 15 minutes and never goes back to it, and it's a trucking simulator, that's an issue.
No.
I spent more time with it than he did, and that's an even bigger issue. Because most of my time was like, please just tell me how to go.
Damn. So what would you do to improve it?
I mean, you can suck up when a game looks bad, right? I can roll with that. But there needs to be a more intuitive system for actually navigating the game. I don't know. I didn't look at any videos of the PC version. I wish I had. We've been dealing with the power being what it is, so I didn't get a chance to do it. But I don't know if maybe on PC it's got a more intuitive system or not. But on Xbox, just their entire menu and navigation needs to be reworked. Their tutorial needs reworked. I'm bitching about tutorials a lot tonight. but all of that could really just, it needs a beta tester to go in there and go, this has worked. And that's a shame. Yeah. I think there could be potential, but this is not a niche genre of games. This is a market where there are heavy hitters, right? And not every game has to fall into that heavy hitter territory, but there's going to be expectations that players who enjoy these type of driving simulators are looking for, and on the road just doesn't have it.
Well, like, I gotta ask. 30 bucks.
When I hit a bus, hold on 1 second, because okay. I gotta tell you what happened. I hit a bus and I got stuck between a bus and a streetlight because none of the physics give way, at least in like every other game, like the physics will give way. If there's a streetlight, you hit it, it breaks, right? And you're not stuck permanently. I had to completely restart because I got stuck between a bus that I hit and a streetlight and neither of us could move anymore. And I had to completely restart. At least the game has an achievement for restarting your save. So it clearly knows you're going to fuck up like that. And that's a shame, okay?
Oh, like, man.
Go faster in reverse. I don't.
That's a reference to another game that is just.
Yeah.
I forget the name of it, but it's broken as hell.
Yeah.
Like Big Rigs or something like that. I forget the name of it. But I have to ask, on the road, the truck simulator, 30 bucks, your verdict?
Oh, no, at that price, I cannot even. I'm sorry. I don't like to rip on games like this. I just, fuck, though, there are so many other titles in the genre at that price that are just so much better. I have to give it a 9.
Well, they can't all be winners, unfortunately.
They can't. But hopefully. And I mean, David gave up on it in 15 minutes, and that tells you a lot.
No. Hopefully they don't give up on this one. If they update the game, if they address any of the complaints, you know, we're happy to give it another look on the show. So.
Oh, Carnage says the achievements take thousands of hours. I know there's some easy ones, like for just refilling your fuel and restarting your safe and stuff. So I didn't look at all of them, but I also just accepted I wasn't into it to do whatever it was going to require.
Yeah. Well, next game to talk about is called Robophobic, developed and published by Hironeko Entertainment, released February 12th on Xbox One for $9.99, a 70s-inspired top-down arcade shooter that has a unique twist. Enemies won't move or attack while you're standing still. Use your tactical skills to avoid being surrounded by the robots as you unfold a rich story full of love, hate, and machines. Cole, tell us about Robophobic.
Is it a unique twist? It's super hot. Yeah, this Robophobic, I swear I've ripped on everything. I feel like everything I'm going to say is just like me being mean. I'm not trying to be mean here. It almost looks like a Lego game. It's so incredibly hard to describe the art style that is in this game. And the whole concept is basically just like there is a grid layout for every level, although it's not a flat 2D grid. Like there are stairs and elevators and they're large, complicated levels that are laid out. There are grids in the floor that have timers built into them. Now, the whole concept of nothing happens until you move isn't 100% true. Those timers are tied to seconds and they do not give a fuck whether you're moving or not. I know because I thought it was fine and I forgot to save and then I come back and I was dead. Or I forgot to pause because I was like, well, I'm not moving. Doesn't matter. That was a dumb. And that wasn't true that I should have paused. once the timer on the square hits zero, whatever robot or turret that is associated with it will pop up out of the floor. And then it doesn't move until you do takes effect. There is the element that when your character shoots, that counts as a move. If you fire rapidly, like I do, that means they're moving pretty quick. And there were times.
Hello.
There wasn't. I thought I heard one of the doors open, and that it was one of my kids coming out, but it was not.
But you're just delusional.
Yeah. Nice. I've not had my drugs yet.
Nice.
It's just my full brain working. That's the problem. But there were times where I was shooting and moving so much that the robots I was against were pretty much just standing still or were moving constantly and never standing still. And so the whole element of they don't move unless you move kind of feels lost because you're trying to go through it so quickly. Because for the love of all that fucks, if it hits zero on a timer, even after you've destroyed that enemy, it's coming back at you again. And so you can get trapped in an area just killing the same waves of enemies over and over if you're not moving fast enough. Although, if you're really in the mood to do it, you can just kind of speed run it and walk past them. You don't have to stay there and fight them. In some cases, some of them will follow you and you may eventually get overwhelmed enough you have to turn around and mow a few of them down. But you could very effectively just go for a lot of the earlier levels. That said, when you get to a boss, shit hits the fan. And the level of difficulty between solving an actual set of puzzles for the level versus going into a boss fight, that spike does not fuck around. I wish there was a little more of a ramp up there rather than just throwing you whole hog in and being like, good luck, you're going to die. because you are going to die, and you're going to die multiple times. There are Metroidvania elements to it as well. Because there are some areas that you cannot reach and some levels that you full on are forced to skip until you can go back and unlock the path to them with the appropriate abilities. It's not a bad concept. It looks good. It may not be a unique experience because it is a gameplay mechanic that if you've played Superhot, you're already familiar with.
Yeah.
Although it does seem like it's a little more sped up out of the gate, given the fact that shooting your gun counts too. Whereas in Superhot, I'm pretty sure you could just like line them up and shoot, and the gunshot itself didn't count, if I remember correctly.
I don't remember.
I think melees did, but gunshots didn't. But yeah. It can be as fast or as slow as you want it to be. It can be as puzzly as you want it to be, or you can just kind of run through it and get fucked up by the bosses.
Nice. Well, overall, $10. What do you think?
I think at $10, it's a solid try. It. The storyline wasn't my favorite. The characters were kind of forgettable, but the actual gameplay when I was with it, I was like, okay, it's not bad. It's just kind of neutral and I'm into it.
That sounds somewhat entertaining. I didn't mind the visual style. I looked at it. I thought it looked kind of cute.
Yeah. I don't know. It resonated with like Lego games in my head and I couldn't get out of it.
That makes sense. I could see it not sitting well with some people, but I didn't mind it.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I don't, weird.
Whatever. One final game to talk about tonight is called Knight's Retreat, developed by Minimal Games, published by Cubite Interactive, released February 11th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $3.99. A chess game without any chess. Rearrange your troops to bring your best knights back to your kingdom in an abstract medieval world. Cole, what is Knight's Retreat?
So, this is a seemingly simple game on its surface. It does get surprisingly difficult. To start off with, you have a knight and a series of floating islands. When I say a knight, I don't mean like fight, stabby, stabby knight. I mean chess piece knight. So the one that looks like a horse. If you're familiar with chess, you know that on a chess board, a knight has to move in an L shape. So two squares, one direction, one square in a perpendicular direction. Yeah, perpendicular. I had to stop and think about that one for a second. So he has a pretty limited set of moves. However, because there is the horizontal and vertical element to it, it's not as limiting as it seems. So for the sake of Knight's Retreat, you are trying to move through each level being its own floating island, and there will be a series of squares similar to what you would see on a chessboard, but not as fully in text. So it's not like each level is a whole chessboard. You may have just one or two squares strategically placed on the island, and you need to be able to move your knight among those squares to progress to a gold square, which is the end of the level. So that's your ultimate place that you need to end up at to properly retreat. Starts off fairly simple. You just have to move the knight around as the levels progress. Other units of the army are included in, including the rooks and the king and queen. And so all of their movements are based on what they would have on a traditional chessboard, but each level is like fragments of a chessboard to move around. You have free movement for any of the armies besides your one knight that you are trying to retreat, or if, spoiler for later levels, you'll have multiple knights that you need to retreat. But once you start to move the knight, that movement is limited to only going forward. You cannot move them backward. And to make sure that that gets railed home to you, they will shoot an arrow out of the sky and blow up the square you came from. You are not going back. So you need to plan your moves carefully and plan in advance for where everything is going to get you. Otherwise, you're going to be pressing the restart button a lot. There is a restart button. There is also a back button. So if you've only fucked up like two moves ago, you can back up just one or two moves without having to fully wipe the slate clean and try again. That's nice. I'm glad they thought about that. You do have chapter select. You can go back through the levels from the main menu, pick one, do it over again. There's no time. There's no punishment. There's no reason to rush through. You can just sit and stare at that puzzle as long as it takes until you can move your knights out of it. Really simple concept, but it gets really difficult at the end. There are just an insane amount of levels of increasing
difficulty.
There was another word I was looking for.
Complexity.
Yes, complexity. I really need my drugs. but they really find ways to like ramp up the actual core mechanic so that it doesn't feel boring or stale, like you're doing the same thing over and over again.
And it helps you learn chess, unless you're Carnage.
It does. Is Carnage bad at chess?
Yes.
Oh, I need to play chess against Carnage.
$4 for Knight's Retreat. What do you think?
I give it a buy it. I had a lot of fun with this. Surprisingly, I think it was one of the best games I played this week other than crosswords. I'm getting old and I like crosswords and chess.
Yeah.
Is what I'm trying to say. But I just like that it was chill and I could take my time and sleuth out the puzzles however it made me comfortable to do it.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it. Four games, the news, and an interview.
Yeah.
Chris was here. Big shout out to Chris for coming on, hanging out with us. Thanks to Deanna and Bobby for coming on from 302 Interactive and chatting with us, even though we suck at the commission. Go check out the commission. It is available on Steam now, so you could go check that out, pick it up, play it, do better at it than we did. Because hopefully there will be a tutorial in it soon.
I did so bad.
We all did bad. Fun for all. Do you have any final words to end the show?
I'm glad my power stayed on and whoop.